Oh, no, I'm not a public speaker. The thought scares me. But immediately the Lord gave me this thought. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He would have had to say that. So then I thought, well, I have to obey. And then also the thought, the verse, his strength is made perfect in my weakness. So, and you know, it does help to know that you're my church family. You love me, so why should I be nervous? I know you all. I love you and you love me, so I should feel right at home. There is some visitors here, but that's okay. They'll bear with me. In case there's anybody here that doesn't know me, is this coming through? All right. How is this? Can you hear me now?
Yep. Very good.
All right. As I said, I have a son in Tennessee. I have my oldest daughter is in New Hampshire. And I have a daughter in Jacksonville, Florida. So that means, and also they've given me 10 grandchildren, and I have 10 great-grandchildren. And they all live in different states. So that means I have to depend on my church family and my work family for love and support. My work family is Bender's Christian Store, and I've been there for 34 years. And so many of you do still remember my wonderful husband, Len. He died 12 years ago this May 28th. But, you know, I'm a widow, but the Bible says that the Lord says that he cares and defends the widow, and that does give me much comfort. And he's been very good and faithful to me all these years since he's been gone. When I think back on the times when my children were home growing up, I'm reminded that our name changes as the years go by. First, we're called Mama or Mommy. For instance, in bed at night, I hear, "Mommy, I'm afraid of the dark. Leave the door open." And then during the school years, it's Mom, like, "Mom, help me find my homework before the bus comes." And then later, it's Mother. "Mother, get with the times. You should get a computer or an iPhone. You could even do your banking online." Which I did get then. I'm thankful and blessed that I was able to be a stay-at-home mom. I could be there when my children came home from school. We wanted to make happy memories for our children, and many times we took them camping. We especially remember camping in Canada at Turkey Point with many of the church families here. That was wonderful memories for them. And then we would go to Florida occasionally, and they really enjoyed that too. It was important for us to have regular church attendance and to be involved whenever we could. I think children learn from their parents' example when we serve the Lord at home and in the church. I know I could have done much better many times when I think back. For instance, when having guests for a meal, I'd want everything to be just right. Then I'd be impatient and short with the children. You know, moms do have to ask for forgiveness, too. I know the children would always know when we're having company, because then Mom would get all kind of nervous, and she just wanted everything right. It all turned out all right, but then afterward I thought, you know, I really shouldn't have taken it out on the children sometimes. I found it so important to bring my children and grandchildren to the Lord in prayer. When the issues or problem is something really serious and heavy on my heart, it seems then I really need to kneel and petition God, who cares and is the burden lifter. As our children have grown and now are on their own, they make their own decisions and choices. Sometimes I don't always agree, or I have a different opinion. I've had to show love and give them into God's care and keeping over these things. Being a mom is for a lifetime, you know. Joys and sorrows are all part of it. I found a little book at Bender's that has been so helpful in my prayers. It's called The Power of Praying for Your Adult Children by Stormy Omartian. The prayers are so specific for them. You put your children or grandchildren's names in the sentences, and subjects are like for the Spirit to pour out on them and to grow in wisdom, also to have discernment and to resist evil influences. Many subjects are covered in that, and it's so helpful to the prayers are exactly what I am thinking and would like to say, but she has them written out just right, just how I would want to pray. I believe we should be specific in our prayers for our children and then watch for the answers for them. The Stormy Omartian has also put out a book for children on how to pray, which I would recommend too. The woman in Psalm 31 is so perfect and seems to do no wrong. So when I read that chapter, it makes me feel very inadequate and unworthy. However, God made me unique and one of a kind, and also in his image. He entrusted me to be the mom of three children. Even with all my failings, he has been so loving and faithful. My children aren't always with me on holidays, but the beautiful words and the loving sentiments that they send me on cards makes me feel so blessed. Like, they're not here today either, but I'll be getting a lot of calls. At least the verse in Proverbs 31:28 fits me. It does say, her children arise and bless her. And I just want you all to have a happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. Thank you, Ruth, for sharing your thoughts. I have a couple thoughts as well. Some of them overlap a little bit, and I figured that might be the case because there's a lot of overlap when it comes to talking about being a parent. But I wanted to share couple things about what I feel like I've learned by being a parent or a mother. One of them being that God is mindful of me just as I am mindful of my children, and that he forgives me just as I forgive my children. Psalm 103 is a psalm. It's one of my favorites. It's halfway down in the verse. I didn't get the verse. Psalm 103, it says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows how they are formed. He remembers that we are dust." And somehow the end of that scripture just really encourages me. It's like, we don't have to be perfect. As Ruth was saying, we're not perfect and we're not going to be perfect, but God knows us. He's a compassionate father. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our shortcomings. He knows us intimately, and he loves us, and there's compassion there. And so I think about that, as I think about being a parent or a mother, I just realize that I know my children very intimately, and I know their struggles. I know their weaknesses. I know the things that are very concerning. And so consequently, I am constantly mindful of those things, and even as Ruth shared, in prayer about it a lot. I sometimes feel a little guilty that my children dominate my prayer life. And sometimes I'm like, Luann, you should be praying about something else sometime. But I'm like, well, you know what? I don't know if anybody else is praying for my kids, but I sure am. So I'll just keep doing that because that's just what I want to do. And so even this week, Thursday early morning, 4:30 in the morning, I wake up because I have to go to the bathroom and that happens. And usually I fall right back asleep. It's never an issue. I have a lot of issues going to sleep at night. I can get in bed at 11 and be laying there till 12:30 in the morning, and it's so frustrating because I get up in the morning, but the minute I fall asleep and then I have to wake up, right back asleep. Well, not this morning, and it just so happened Phil's awake too. That's been happening to him a little more recently, but anyway, so I'm sure you just always have these things that you're anxious about or you're concerned about or you're stirred up about, and so it just so happened we started talking a little bit. It was probably a really bad idea at 4:30 in the morning, and so then I couldn't go to sleep, and so we're like, let's pray. there's so many things to pray about. And so then we pray about things that we're concerned about the church and things going on. But we pray for each one of our children, specifically, individually, kind of like you were saying, Ruth. We know them individually. We pray about their specific concerns, things. And there's a lot of transition going on in our life right now with our kids. And there's actually a billboard out on Broadway. It's advertising Catholic education. And I really like this billboard because it says, give your child roots and wings. And I'm like, that's a really great thing to think about when it comes to children. I feel like, as Ruth said, that, we've given our kids some roots. But I feel like we're at this point where we almost have to hold our hands open and give them wings. Because actually, Jeremy graduated yesterday from Houghton. So that's our youngest child has graduated from college. I'm like, how did this happen? How did we get this old? So there's a lot of uncertainty. So our prayers for him are that God would lead him and help him to find his way and find a job. And Tim's thinking about heading off to Australia and then Nepal. And so we're like, okay, God, lead him and guide him. And Kayla's actually in, the Caribbean right now, Dominica. Ben in Mexico coming back in a few weeks, but she doesn't know what she's doing either. So it's, Lord, lead and guide her. Show her the way to go. She doesn't know what she's doing. And Joelle's probably our most stable one. She's now in Buffalo and finding her way there in a job and just making her way. And, of course, there's Aaron, who we've grafted in the family to some extent, that we're always praying for also, that God would lead him and guide him and work in his life with his unique challenges. So as I think about my relationship with God and what does God think about me, I think about the fact that I know my children intimately, details. I pray for them specifically. And it makes me wonder, does God knows me intimately, right? Could it be that he's intimately concerned about the details of my life, just the way I am, the details of my children's lives? And so that encourages me to think, yes, he's a loving father. He's a compassionate father. He does care, and so he knows. I mean, he knows what we're going through here. He knows that I've had some struggles at work recently. He knows that, the struggles that I have, even with my children. Part of wings is letting them go. Even this week, Phil and I had a little bit of a tiff, or maybe it was a bigger than a little tiff. It was a big tiff, because Tim's planning some trip, and I thought maybe I would go too, and Phil's like, you weren't invited, and I'm like, well, I would like to go, and so anyways, but Phil, he got me thinking straight. Yeah. Wings, we're letting these kids go. So I bless you on your trip, and I will be fine. And this is what Phil's like. We will be fine. I'm like, okay, I'll be fine. Okay, so it's the wings thing. I'm really working on that right now. But I'm very, very blessed to have kids that are a huge blessing in my life. And so I just know that I'm in tune with the details of my children's life, and I just trust that God's in tune with the details of my life. And the other part I like about this scripture is he has compassion on those who fear him. He knows how we are formed. He remembers we are dust. In other words, we don't have to be perfect. We're going to make mistakes. And I actually am pretty impressed with my capacity to forgive my children. I don't know if that's really bad to say, but I mean, if my kids do something that hurts me, all they got to do is say, I'm sorry. And it just melts my heart. I'm like, yeah, no problem. Thank you. I forgive you. And as Ruth says, we have to say, I hope we're in families where we say we're sorry. I try to say I'm sorry when I hurt my kids or I do something offensive, whether intentionally or unintentionally. It's always unintentional, never intentional. So anyways, hopefully. But we say we're sorry. But anytime my kids come and say they're sorry, I just want to forgive them. And I'm like, could it be that our Father God wants to forgive us that way? The minute we fall short, the minute we say, God, I'm sorry. And he says, it's okay. Don't sweat it. It's all right. I love you. And so that's what I think about. It really, my relationship with my children informs my relationship with God, that I think I can trust that he wants to forgive me whenever I say I'm sorry. And so I try to do that regularly because obviously none of us are perfect and we all fall short. And so those are just a couple of thoughts I wanted to share with you about how being a mother, being a parent, has affected my walk with God. Thank you.
Wow, Ruth and Luann, ditto. So much of what I'm going to talk about. I think there's a theme here today. I think there's a theme with all of us as mothers. And I'm glad to have that bond with you guys, just knowing that I don't walk this path as a mother alone. There are lots of other great mothers out there. So thank you, Pastor Phil, for asking me to talk today about how my faith has kind of inspired me as a mom. You led me to some kind of serious reflection, which was awesome. So I brought a couple of pictures. Can we just start, Ben, with the first one? So where does our family start? It starts with our foundation. Luann, you talked about that. Our foundation is really what leads us through our lives. So as a mother, I wanted to go back a little bit and talk about where my faith foundation is. Next slide, please. This is my grandmother. We called her Mimi. Mimi was an English teacher and a woman of great faith. She had three big rules: no cussing, no using her Lord's name in vain, and never, but never, were you to be late for church. I often think that Jesus would most likely forgive me if I was a little late for church. Not so much my grandmother. She would be mortified with me for telling you that story. So let me paint a little bit better picture of her. When I was about 30 years old, my parents went on a trip of a lifetime. It was a cruise. My mother was anxious because my grandmother was getting up in age. She was nearly blind at that time. And I promised my mom that if anything happened, I would take care of Mimi. Well, don't you know, the day after their ship left port, my grandmother fell and broke her neck. I got on the next plane to Texas. When I arrived, my grandmother was in a lot of pain and wearing a neck collar. She called me over to her bedside and instructed me to sit beside her to pray, giving thanks to God for sending me to her. I have to tell you, the next week was a blessing to me. I spent an entire week snuggled up as a grown woman next to my grandmother. Mimi was almost totally blind by then. We talked, we prayed, and I read to her from her always present Bible. It was such a wonderful reminder to me that my own faith had such a solid foundation behind it. Next slide. Here are two ladies. The woman on your left is my mother when she was about 40. That's me on the right at about the same age. See any resemblance? Just a little bit. My mother was also a big part of my faith formation, but in a different way. My mother's retired now, but she was a writer for the Seattle Times when I was growing up. She's an accomplished feature writer who specialized in education and the religion sections of the paper. My mother's greatest gift is that she's an amazing interviewer. As a kid, we teased that if you got on an airplane and sat next to her, when you got off 3 hours later, you'd have told her absolutely everything about yourself. Seriously, things you would not tell anyone. We used to groan every time she'd meet a person. Oh, she's interviewing somebody again. But as I got older, I realized that watching her, I had gained a valuable lesson. And it's a lesson that I carry with me today in the ministry work that I do. My mother is truly interested in the person that she's talking to. When she looks in a person's face, she's looking at a lot more. She's truly interested in that person without judgment. She's looking to get past the mask that we all wear to see inside that person, their thoughts, their pain, their joy, their heart. People have often told me that they leave from conversations with my mother having a better understanding of who they are. Mom truly believes that everyone she meets has a great, no, valuable, valuable story to tell. She taught me to see the face of God in everyone I meet and to value their story without judgment. My mother taught me the meaning of the word unconditional love, Christ's love. So speaking of unconditional love, next slide, please. I'd like to introduce you to the children I gave birth to as a young woman. This is Luke and Casey. From a young age, I longed to be a traditional mother. And God blessed me with these two beautiful children. When my kids were in their teens, my traditional family was broken, and I found myself raising my children alone. I have to tell you, like Luann, the hardest part of being a mother for me was letting my kids grow up. I wanted to keep them mine forever. They say a mother is neither an anchor to hold us back nor a sail to take us there, but always a guiding light whose love shows us the way. I really wanted to be an anchor and hold on to them forever, but off they went to college, I began to work with homeless youth and plans into settling into an empty nest. But God had different plans for me. Next slide. So one day I met this handsome guy. He walked right into my life. He was actually my neighbor, and the pond in my backyard was flooding his backyard. He was nice about it, though, and we struck up a friendship. Imagine my reaction when he told me that he was a single dad raising 6 children. Pat and I started dating, keeping our friendship separate from our children. I'm a kid lover, and I didn't want to go fall in love with his kids if we decided we weren't meant to be together. We both agreed that our faith was the most important thing to us, and we wanted to make sure we were on the same page. So we began attending church together on Sunday mornings. It's a tradition that's really special to both of us. Pat and I built the foundation of our relationship around our faith at church. Next slide, please. Which, of course, led us nearly 5 years later to these church steps, where with our children standing by our side, we took our vows in 2013. Just before the service was set to begin, I found myself huddled with all 8 kids in a small stairwell that led up to the sanctuary of the church. We were all a little nervous and shuffling around. Our oldest daughter, Sarah, who is kind of my mother hen for the rest of the kids, took control. She asked if we could all settle and say a prayer. Sarah thanked God for bringing Pat and I together and asked that he be present in all our lives as we became a family. As we stood there praying, poor Pat was all by himself at the altar waiting for us. But it was a magical moment for me to watch all 8 children join him at the altar as I walked down the aisle to become his wife. So quickly, I've got 8 kids, I got 8 minutes, we got to get through this fast. Let me introduce you to our 8 wonderful children. First picture, this is Chris and Kate. They live in Buffalo. Chris is a career counselor for young men who are entering vocational programs at Erie Wambosis. Kate is a nurse at Mercy. The little one in the middle is the next generation of the Murphy clan. That's our granddaughter, Rose, and she's the apple of our eye. Next picture, please. This is Steve and Sarah. They live in Raleigh, North Carolina. She's a special education teacher, and he's a pharmacist. They're going to exchange their vows this summer, and Sarah is so excited to become a wife and a mother as quickly as she can. Next slide. This is Luke and Amanda. Luke and his wife Amanda live in Alaska, where Luke is a science teacher, and Amanda is a paleontologist helping to map the natural resources in our national park. Luke teases Chris and Kate that he's grateful to them for giving us our first grandchildren because it's taken the pressure off of them for now. Next slide, please. This is Evan. As a child, he was an inspiration for one of Pat's most famous little people. This is a picture in the middle of Evan dressed as his alter ego, Eddie, for a Fisher-Price Halloween contest. Evan worked as a graphic artist alongside his dad at Fisher-Price just out of college, where he designed some of the packages for his father's toys. Evan moved to Salt Lake City, Utah about a year ago. He says he's met an awesome young woman, and we hope so because we think he's pretty awesome, too. Next in line is Casey and her boyfriend, Evander. Casey has followed in her grandmother's footsteps and is a writer in New York City. She's inherited my mother's ability to lean in and be really present in the lives of the people that she meets. Evander's a very talented graphic artist who compliments Casey in all the best ways. This is Hannah, next one. This is Hannah. She's a student at Buffalo State College. Hannah's working to figure out what she wants to do with her life. She started in social work, and now she's in criminal justice. As I mentioned before, this is a really tough age for me as a parent. She's finding her wings, and I'm having to control my desire to both be an anchor to hold her back or a wind to lead her way. There's another quote I found that resonates with me at this point in my journey as a mother. A mother is someone who dreams for you, but then she lets you chase the dreams you have for yourself and loves you just the same. Hannah's a wonderful young woman, and I have great faith that she'll make good choices for her life. Finally, here are the last two. Some of you met Steve and Teresa last year at Beaver Camp. Steve and Teresa are both in high school. They're just beginning to discern where life will take them, and I'm cherishing every moment I have with them before they fly the nest. I'm really very happy to continue to be an anchor around their necks for a few more short years. So, you know, I really believe, the last slide, please. That's all of our family at the last wedding. We'll get another one this summer. I believe the choice to become a mother is the choice to become one of the greatest spiritual teachers there is. I know these children are not mine, they're God's. But I thank him for letting me be his hands and feet to help raise them. And like Hannah, Pastor Phil, I give them over to the Lord to be that guiding light whose love always shows them the way.
Thank you to all three of you for sharing with us this morning. I think you gave us all that we need for the next week, especially and in our lives, to think about and contemplate about how God works in our lives and the things that he calls us to, and to really be filled with gratitude for the moms that he's given us as well. So thank you for sharing with us this morning and being courageous about that. If it felt like a little bit scary to do that, thanks for your courage. I'd like to ask the worship team to come up. We're going to close in worship. I think is the song, "I'll Fly Away." Okay, I don't know exactly how that relates, but maybe Tim will enlighten us, or I didn't tell him how to end the service, so whatever he chose, it's a good song. But anyways, please stand, and let's pray together, and then we'll worship with a final song. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for these words that we've heard from Ruth and Luann and Carol this morning. Lord, you've obviously given them hearts of love and compassion for their children as they've walked intimately with you in their calling as mothers. And Lord, we thank you for the pictures that's given us of how you care for us and of your calling on our lives. So I thank you for that. And as we close with this final song, Lord, and we just ask for your blessing. I ask for your blessing on each one here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.